welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Well, praise God. So what I'm going to speak to you this morning on is baptisms. All right? Because they're coming up 21st of August. There's been a little bit of confusion about whether it was the Sunday after. It should be the 21st of August. Okay? It's the Sunday before the last Sunday in August. And Claire is going to organise some outreach during that time as well. She doesn't know that yet. That's part of our conversation that's to come. But as you put things on me, I'm going to do the same. It's only fair. Because I think this year, with the awareness of what's going on, we will worship. And Elka will, you know, or whoever's doing it, really. I'm not really putting anybody in. I think, for example, we need to sing Amazing Grace. Because so many people know that song. You know, why sing songs that people don't know? Let's sing Amazing Grace. We can sing the modern, updated version of it. And maybe we'll sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. I don't mind. I just want people to gather. You know, and we'll worship God like we did last year. But this year we'll know that something's happening because the fields are white to harvest. And some of you have known that for a long time and you're just so pleased the pastor's caught up with you. But so that's what we're going to do on the 21st of August. And it's going to be a great day. Obviously, there's lots of people missing. So I need you guys to spread this as much possible. I know there's 8 people already that want to be baptized. But there could be more yet. But it's a great day. So we'll meet here in church. And we'll have a church service. And that church service will have everybody forward that's going to get baptized. And we'll just pray for them and give each person a chance to say why they're getting baptized. And that's a great point to invite friends and family along. Even if you're not getting baptized, you can say, have you ever seen a baptism? Oh, it's amazing. And it will be on the beach afterwards and throwing people in the sea. You should come and see it. And sometimes people are just curious to see this odd Christian practice. Because let's face it, it is odd. You know, getting into the water in all your clothes. I mean, you don't have to wear quite so many because we're on the beach. So that's convenient. And thank God we're not quite the early church because they were quite into nude baptisms. I don't know if you know that. We don't do it like that, especially on Scarborough Beach. But it is a great thing to invite friends and family to. So we'll have a really good service here where we just welcome people who come and, you know, be reaching out to people. And then after the service, probably about 1:30-ish, we'll head down to the beach, and it's so easy from here, isn't it, just to walk down the steps and be there on the beach, and we'll just gather there with a guitar and a speaker or whatever else Claire's organised. Even if you've organised via, you know, what's it called? I was kind of say dispensation, but that's not the right word. Anyway, delegation, that's the word. And then we'll meet down there, and again, if you can't get people to come here on the Sunday morning, tell them to come along to that bit. And we'll worship and we'll have some people who are just ready to go and talk to any extra people that start watching. Probably not during the actual songs, but you know. And I'll say something as well, very short, but I'll give a short gospel message there on the beach. And then we'll do the baptisms. Okay? So we're going to have fun as we see those new people come into life. But why get baptized? Because Jesus said to. Do you need any other reason? It's a bit like I said about worship before. We sometimes like to, sometimes people separate the spiritual from what happens in our minds, from what happens in our bodies. And you can't. You can talk about all three, but we are just one person. It's a bit like God is Trinity, but he's only one God. We're a Trinity in ourselves, body, mind and spirit. But you can't really separate. And what we do with one affects the other. If you choose to get into some form of sin, it will affect you spiritually. It doesn't mean God can't forgive you. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. But it will affect your relationship with God. What you do physically, it will affect you spiritually. But it doesn't just have to affect you negatively. It affects you positively. So Nathan was talking about deciding to join in, which is absolutely awesome. That is a major decision that anybody makes, because it can seem odd, especially if you've not been in a church culture, to sort of stand and sing. You know, it does seem a little bit strange. But when you make that decision, you take a step forward in your spiritual walk with God as well. There's no, we are completely free. It's not compulsory to stick your hands in the air and wave them or just stand like this. But when you do this, it's an expression of surrender and saying Jesus is Lord, and it will affect your walk with God. It will bring you into a closer place with Him. It will help you develop intimacy with Him than if you decide never to do it. If you sit through services the whole time or sit through prayer meetings, you will have an experience. But if you want to go deeper, at different times you will need to stand, you will need to call out, and even kneel and lie flat on your face. All these things are linked. I remember, I think it's in the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. If you've never read those books, or that book rather, it's a senior devil advising a junior devil on how to deal with his project, which is obviously a person. And there's a disaster in his project because he gets saved. But the devil, the senior devil says, it's fiction, don't worry. The senior devil says to the junior devil, that's not really too much of a worry as long as we can keep him away from God. And at one point when he's advising him, he says, one of the great things we can fool men into thinking is it doesn't matter what they do with their bodies when they're praying or worshipping. What you need to encourage your man is that they are completely separate and it really doesn't matter what he does when he's praying or worshipping God. You know? But it does matter. And so when I'm at home praying, you know, I sometimes do sit in a chair because prayer can be a conversation with Jesus. And often in the morning, very first thing when I pray, I have a cup of tea. I have a cup of tea with Jesus and we talk and I pray and I read. But then at one point I will kneel. You know, I even have a little stool that helps you to kneel because I'm not so good at kneeling for long periods. You know, I'll kneel like this and then 3 minutes later it's like, ooh, ooh. And then it's like, you know. Being in the 50s, it seems to happen. But and sometimes I just lie on my face on the floor. You know, it's important to realize that it's everything. So one of the reasons we get baptized is because we are using our bodies to declare what has happened spiritually before God. It's a statement of faith. And whenever you make a statement of faith, it changes what is going on in your life. So, yeah, it starts with Jesus told us to. In fact, he actually led the way by getting baptized himself. If there was one person that didn't need to be baptized for his sins, it was Jesus. But he says, I'm doing it for righteousness. I'm doing it to show people how to be in a right standing with God. In fact, because he goes to John the Baptist, John the Immerser. And John tried to talk him out of it. I hope you've never tried to talk God out of things. I think we all have at some point. No, I don't want to do that, God. I think you've got the wrong person. Do you not realize what I'm like? He says, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he says. Why are you coming to me? And Jesus says in this translation, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. Jesus was showing the way. And he gets baptized, and when he comes up out of the water, is when he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that point on, his ministry becomes his ministry that we have in the Gospels. So why do we think it would be different for us? If you've been born again, the next thing you should do is get baptized. There's an account in Acts of the Philippian jailer. He's put Paul and Silas, isn't it, into prison. And that's when they get broken out and the chains fall off and everything else. And the jailer's about to commit suicide because he knows he's going to be terribly punished for all the prisoners escaping in the prison. And Paul cries out, don't do it. We're all still here. Which was a bit of a surprise for him. But the thing that happens is he gets saved. And it says that all his household were baptized. And do you know how long they waited to get baptized? Not very long, because it says they get baptized in the middle of the night. Amazing, isn't it? They didn't go through a course. they didn't wait a while to see if being a Christian takes. They knew what it was they had to do. Another place, Paul himself, earlier on. Paul was a great opponent of Christianity. He was coming against him and he meets a vision of Jesus, or of Jesus he meets on the road to Damascus. That's why we have this expression of the Damascus Road experience. It comes from Paul's story. He was called Saul at that point, which means I think it means something like glorious and a leader, the name Saul. And Paul means small, which is why he changed it. I'm no longer a glorious leader. I am small. I am nothing. God is my everything. That's why he changed his name. But it says that he has this experience and he's blinded by the experience and he ends up in a town and a believer gets told by God to go to him, Ananias. And he must have been quaking with his knees because he knew he'd got to go and meet this guy who had been killing Christians or was responsible for dragging them off into prison, and God's saying, go to visit him. I bet that was one of those moments when he's thinking, are you sure about that, Jesus? Really? I've got to go and see Saul? Because there was no way he knew what had already happened on the road. But he went, and Paul becomes a Christian, and immediately he gets baptized. Another place, Peter goes to the home of Cornelius. This is the first time one of the apostles have gone to visit people who are not Christians. They weren't Christians, not Jewish. This was a major point. If this had never happened, the Christianity, the ministry of Jesus, would have only ever been confined to a kind of small Jewish sect. There had to be this leap because Jesus died for everyone. And Peter has this vision of things, of unclean meats and things coming from heaven. And God says to him, go and eat it. And he says, no, I'm not doing the unclean thing, Lord. He's thinking this is a trick, I think, from God. I mustn't do that. And God says, no, don't you call unclean what I have now called clean. I want you to go. And he ends up going to the house of Cornelius, who is a Gentile. And still everybody's a bit doubtful that this God thing could be for people who are not Jewish. But while Peter is talking to them and telling them the gospel, the Spirit of God falls on them and they start prophesying and praying in tongues, which is a big clue that God thinks this is okay. You know, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. You sort of think, well, that breaks the rules. How can you be filled with the Spirit? They didn't check whether they were saved properly. You know, but God is out the box. God is out the box. God does things not necessarily in the order you think they're going to do them. People can be filled with the Spirit and you thought, well, I didn't know they were saved. God knows the whole story. God's outside of time. Just go with what he's doing. As we go out, let's just go with what he's doing. And so they all repent and they all get saved. And of course, Cornelius and his household get baptized. And that's the other thing. Let's be believing for households. You know, for too long we've made everything individual, and that's good. We have to have our own relationship with Jesus, but there is a collective relationship with Jesus. And you can see the whole household coming to God together. So parents get baptized and their children come into the covenant until they're old enough to make their own decision to be baptized. Yeah? Are you with me? You're all very quiet. Maybe you're listening so hard. Let's just have a quick look at... Here's the Great Commission. This is the other reason we baptize. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these newer disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So, teach the new disciples to obey all the commands. What command had he just given them? Go into the world and make disciples and baptize them. So what are we supposed to do? Go into all the world and see these people baptized. All right? It's part of being a Christian. It's an essential part of repentance, of changing from our old lifestyle and coming into God. I'm not talking about mistakes. I'm not talking about when you become a Christian and you do something and you're really cross with yourself, perhaps, that you've done it and you come and you ask God to forgive you. You know, this is the repentance that occurs at the beginning that says, I want to walk with Jesus and I want to put all those things behind me. If there's things going on in your life when you want to get baptized that you know that are wrong, don't get baptized because you're probably not saved yet. Sorry about that, but you're not. If there are things going on in your life that you know you've not repented of, you're not saved. You might love Jesus, you might experience Jesus here, you might have powerful times with God, but until you've truly repented, you are not saved. Okay? I know that's tough, but that's what Jesus taught. You have to repent. You have to turn from the things of the world. So if you've been in, you know, and I get what I'm trying to say is, it's different to when you are saved, even when you've been baptized. If you do the thing you used to do because you fell back into it, and you repent, that's completely different. This is when you're saved, you're at the beginning, and you say, I don't want that to be part of my life anymore. I am repenting of that. Okay? Now, also don't get yourself in a fix. Because the other thing you'll discover is when you've been a Christian 25 years, for example, God still comes along and says, let's deal with this thing that's going on in your life. And you thought, I didn't even know. That's been going on for 25 years since I got born again. And now God is only just dealing with it. So don't get into some kind of paranoia of thinking you've got to find absolutely everything. The Holy Spirit reveals to you and you will know. And it's not somebody else's job, particularly, to even point out things that are wrong with your life. Every person, when they get baptized, has still got things on in their life that are not of God. But the thing before God is you honestly repent of all the things you know of that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you. And if you don't want to repent, don't get baptized because you're not saved. Okay? Whatever it is, you've got to put it behind you. But don't panic and think there might be something I haven't thought of. God's got that in hand. It's just what he reveals to you. All right? I think that's really important that everybody knows that as they're getting baptized. I'm putting that behind me. I'm walking with Jesus. You will continue to make mistakes. You will sometimes sin. But you're not choosing deliberately to stay in a life of sin that you were living before you got born again. That's what it's about. Okay? I just got a couple more things. Are you still with me? This is I don't normally talk about baptism like this. This is the way God gave me to do it. Here is, we won't dwell on this, just quickly go there. This is the very first baptisms that happen. It's on the day where they've just been filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter preaches to this great crowd of people. Peter, the person that previously was too scared to talk to a servant, is now standing before a crowd, risking his very life. And he preaches this message of Jesus was killed on the cross and you crucified him. And that message hasn't changed. He doesn't mean they literally dragged him to the cross and put him there, although some of them may have been in the crowd that was crying, crucify him. He was saying, your sin, the things you've done wrong, put him on the cross. So 2,000 years later, we still crucified Jesus. It's no good blaming the Jews or blaming the Romans. As in church history at times, people have become very anti-Semitic because they blame the Jews for Jesus being crucified. We crucified Jesus. Our sin put the nails through his hands. That's why it's so amazing that he still forgives us. And so he's explained this, and so all the people say, what should we do? This is a disaster. What have we brought upon ourselves? And Peter replies, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away. That's us at this point. Who have all been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. I'd love to know what he said. Strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. That's the repentance. We're coming out of the world. We're saying we're not going to live as the world lives. I'm putting behind being an addict to alcohol. I'm putting behind being an addict to drugs. We are laughing at Alex saying it was a New Age group. You know, we're putting behind New Age. We're putting behind any of those beliefs. Beliefs in astrology, beliefs in Tai Chi, beliefs in anything that are not of God, we're putting them behind us. We're not going to keep a little something in our house to remind us of where we were. Get rid of it. If it's not of God, get rid of it. If it belongs to something that's not of God, it is an idol in your life, destroy it. Don't sell it, destroy it, get rid of it. Okay? That's repentance. That is changing. Don't get baptized if you want to keep something on your shelf that's meant something to you. Maybe you've been into Buddhism. Well, bless you. Buddhism is as a wisdom and a wise way and a peaceful understanding of the world, but it is not the way, the truth, and the life. And if you've been into that and you get born again and you've got statues of Buddhas in your house, even if they were expensive, smash them, destroy them, get rid of them. You are being born again. You can't live in both camps. You can't hedge your bets. I'll be a little bit of a Muslim, a little bit of a Buddhist, and a little bit of a Christian, and maybe I'll be into this, this, and this, and this, and then I've got all the boxes ticked. No, the one box you won't have ticked if you're doing that is saved. Because you cannot be saved and not follow Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, said Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Why am I being so tough? Why am I being so black and white this morning? Because I don't want any of you to be baptized thinking it's like a magic cleansing trick. Okay? It is not. It is bodily demonstrating what you believe. Right, here's another one. And I need to finish real quick. This is Philip. Have you ever heard of Philip? He was an early deacon in the church. He was an early church leader. We know very little about him. He was appointed to feed the widows. And here is God using him to do miracles. If you're appointed to clean the toilets in the church, you're going to see miracles. Because you said to Jesus, yes, I will serve. It all goes together. It's all the same thing. Nobody can be called to just be a preacher. If you're going to be preaching, if you're going to be leading people, first you have to clean toilets. I'm sorry, that's just the way Jesus said, I come to serve. Jesus himself washed feet, dirty, smelly, dusty feet. He got on his knees and he washed them to show that true leadership is service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which is why you'll still find Kate and me sometimes putting out the chest. Because our heart is to serve you. It would be pointless if I always put out the chairs because it will take me away from what the full calling of God is on my life. If all I do is practical works here, you will miss. It's like this. Philip's one of the guys that's been appointed to free the apostles to have more time to pray and seek the Lord so they're bringing the full word of God. But here he is preaching the word of God. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Whoa, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. The fields are white to harvest. You are going to hear God. Go to Nubra, wait on the corner by Lloyd's Bank and talk to the person who comes along wearing a blue jacket. You are going to have that experience. Follow up on it. This is the time. This is the day. God is going to speak to you and you're going to know what you need to do." So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia. It's like meeting the chancellor of the exchequer. A eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage. This will happen to you. If you say yes to Jesus," this isn't just about baptism, this is for all of us. "If you say yes, Jesus, I will do as you say. I'm willing to talk to people." Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, is going to say to you, "Do this now. This is the moment. This is the time. Go and walk over here. Stand next to this person. Say hello to that person. Give that person over there one of these. Offer them one of the free tea or coffee vouchers." Because Jesus knows the people who are absolutely ready. Aren't you excited? The fields are white. They really, really, really are. They're glittering. They're dazzling. It's beautiful. So Philip ran over. Oh, that's good. Straight in there. Ran over. And heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Often in those days, people didn't read in their heads. If you read, you read out loud. It's a modern skill to read in your head. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you were reading?" What a great little introduction. This is like a guide, text guide. It's bringing the man into a conversation. It's like a little guide to outreach. And the man replies, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit beside him. And the passage of scripture he had been reading from Isaiah was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Who is this? Who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Hey, what an opening. And it says that Philip told him the good news about Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ. He's just been killed in Jerusalem, but now he's risen from the dead. He gave him the full message straight out of what the guy was actually reading. And God will do the same for you. There'll be little catch-ups. Remember, you don't necessarily have to win the argument. This might not be the moment they come to salvation, but it is the moment that God has given to you to sow something. But you will sow and you will reap, and you will reap and you will sow if you trust the Lord that the fields are white. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Amen. You might not even be perfect, because you aren't, other than in Christ, but God will enable the right words to come from you to speak at the right moment. All right? And if you're scared, we all are. Just do it anyway. As Nike say, just do it. So, as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop. They went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. There and then, bang. Hallelujah. I love it. Now, if you want to be baptized, you need to give us your name, because we need to do things decently and in order. And so if you can give your name, Chris has been collecting the names, Chris Birch, but she's not here today. She's, I don't know what she's doing. She's probably gone off into the world like everyone else. But if you just give your name to Shona or to Brian, that you want to be baptized, because we do like to just sit down with people and just, not necessarily Brian or Shona, but someone will just sit with you and talk you through some of these scriptures. Again, because we want to make sure you know what you, we do want to make sure you know what you're doing. The eunuch knew what he was doing because Philip had told him. Okay, you haven't got to go on a course though. You haven't got to know absolutely everything. We just want you to understand what repentance is and what is happening. And that's what I need to finish with. I've got so much, I don't have time. Here's what actually happens when you get baptized to finish with, okay? Here's Paul speaking. Remember, Paul that was called glorious and powerful leader under Saul, who became small because he knew that in Christ he could do nothing. Nothing. But Christ does it in us. Amen? Well then, says Paul, he's just explained grace. Should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Some people believe that is the way. They think, oh, well, if God's grace abounds when I'm sinning, I may as well sin. What does Paul say to that? Of course not. You idiot. He doesn't say you idiot, but he kind of does. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? If you are a dead body, you can't sin. If we brought a coffin in from the undertakers with a dead body in it and opened it up, we're not going to do this. Well, unless you want us to. But no, I don't think we do. And you open it up, and there's a dead body in there. No matter how much we leave that person, that dead person, that deceased person there, they are going to live. Well, they're not going to live, are they? They are not going to sin. I was going to say they're going to live a life perfectly free from sin, but they're not going to live a life because they're dead. But they're not going to sin. They will not gossip. They will not slander. They won't do anything wrong because they're dead. But that's what baptism demonstrates. What is actually happening is that when you're put into the water and we put you under the water, what is demonstrating is that you are being buried in the grave. It is a funeral service for your old way of life. And you go under the water, and if we don't like you much, we hold you there for quite a long time. No. because it's showing the same thing as Jesus, because we're baptized into his death. You think, oh, I want to be baptized into his life. No, you don't. You're baptized into his death. You're going into the tomb with Jesus Christ. It's his death. You're being put in the tomb. And that's what it's showing. And because you're doing it with your body, it will affect what goes on in your mind, and it will affect what happens to you spiritually. It is not disconnected. So you go into the grave. And then we bring you back up out of the water, because at that point we are demonstrating that you are not being left in the grave, but you're being raised into new life. And the Bible says it's the same, we sing it, it's one of our songs, we sing it a lot, the same power that rolled the stone away. Remember that one? The same power that caused Jesus to be raised from the dead is being exhibited in what we're doing, being shown off in what we're doing. This person is filled with the power that rose Jesus from the dead. They have turned from their past way to live under a new grace of God. Their life will be completely and utterly different. Amen? Let's just read a little bit more of Romans and then we'll finish. Yes, here we go. Or, of course not. We don't just keep on sinning. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Jesus Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. And we know that our sinful old selves, our flesh, was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. And we are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we also know that we now live with him. Now, if you can read on in there, read it in a translation that's understandable. Romans chapter 6. It's a fantastic chapter of how we have been crucified with Christ. We're no longer who we were, but we have been risen to a new life in Jesus. Amen? And that means we are free to live free from sin. That's what baptism demonstrates. And you will get a new energy, because it doesn't say you will never be tempted again. But the Word of God very clearly says there's now no temptation that has seized you except that which is common to all people. And the grace of God will enable you to stand up under it. You will still be tempted, but the difference is you now have the grace, you now have the power to resist it. Before you repent, before you're born again, you can literally say, I could not help myself, I could not stop it. But once you have been born again and baptized into Christ Jesus, you can no longer ever say that again. You might do it, but you do now have the power to resist within you. God will always, as it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that I just quoted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And the thing that causes you to fall is you choose not to take the way out. You say, no, I like this. This gives me a great feeling. All right? And we do it, and we're back in sin. Doesn't invalidate our baptism, doesn't invalidate our walk with God, but it will affect our relationship with God and the way we walk with God unless we deal with it in further repentance. I hope I've been plain in what I've explained. If you've been confused by anything I've said, you can come and talk to me afterwards. If there's any one of you who's been born again and haven't yet put your name down to be baptized, then see Brian and Shona at the end, because now is the time. You know? And some people say, well, I don't really want to get wet. Well, I'll tell you something. Jesus didn't really want to hang on the cross either. And this is a lot easier. We do get the good end of the deal. All right? I don't like water. I don't like water over my face. It might go up my nose. Yeah, well, it's not as bad as nails through your hand. Come on. I was so sad to hear one of the other ministers in town say that, you remember when that horrific incident happened in France where the priest was killed. And many church leaders were sent things from the chief police about being aware of terrorist attacks and things. And the fact remains, you've got more chance of being killed going to Sainsbury's or walking along the side street than you'll ever have by coming to church. This minister said he'd already had a call from people, two different people, representing families, who said they didn't feel they'd be coming to church anymore because it was too scary or too dangerous. Do you believe in Jesus or not? Yes. Now, the reality is, it's not dangerous to go to church. In fact, most of the terrorist guidance we already have in place here anyway. But the matter of the fact is, if it genuinely was dangerous, if there was genuinely a risk that coming to church could get you killed, would you still do it? Because if the answer is no, do you really believe in Jesus? I know there's practical things, but come on, this is the day. If there really was dangerous, I hope by the grace of God would still come. Say, no, I need to be there. That's what we do. If today I die, today I die. I go home to be with Jesus. I don't want to die. I don't want my life to end, but I will do what Jesus wants me to do. Amen? we're going to be a people that are a little bit more radical. Not because we're pulling our boots up, but because we just trust in Jesus. We're just saying, yeah, he is my Lord. I will do. And do you know what? Because of that, we are going to have a very exciting, very adventurous, and very full life. Amen. Well, be blessed. Have a great week. And don't forget, baptism's 21st of August. If you get anybody saved between then and now, then let's get them in the sea on the 21st of August. If you know anybody that's been saved and is not here today, make sure they know and say, come on, this is what you need to do. It's what Christians do. Repent and be baptized, says Peter. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.